Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Daled, Chapter 4. Perek Gimel describes the impacts of inadequate male and female role models on the nation. Without leaders outside and inside the home, the nation was destined for a breakdown of morals and standards. Perek Daled is a continuation of Perek Gimel. The breakup of the chapters are not of Jewish origin, so they were incorrectly divided here. We left off Perek Gimel discussing how the women inappropriately use their beauty to attract the attention of men, and will eventually endure a tragic reversal, from beautiful gowns, makeup, and jewelry, to sackcloth, loneliness, and crying on the ground over husbands lost at war. This perek is only 6 verses long. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1 of our perek begins. V'hachaziku sheva nashim bi'ish echad bayom hahu lemor. 7 women will have to take hold of one man on that day and say, Lachminu nochel, v'simlatinu nolbash. Raki kari shimcha alinu, esof chirpatinu. We will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Just let us be called by your name. Take away our shame. The previous perek details how many women became widows when their husbands died during the Chorban, leaving the ratio between women to men quite unbalanced. Many women will therefore be looking to the same man to marry them. This pasuk describes the desperation of the women, who will beg to be taken as a wife who is even promising to take care of her own food and clothing needs. Food and clothing are really the responsibility of the husband, but these women are not asking for anything other than being Eshes Ploni, the wife of so-and-so. The words Esof Cherpasinu, take away our shame, are so similar to the words of Rachel Imenu, who said, Asaf Elokim Escherpati, Hashem, take away my shame. Rachel here is begging for children. She felt shame without any. Perhaps the women here too are begging for a man to marry, so they can have children of their own. Interestingly, Chazal explained that when Nebuchadnezzar commanded his troops to enter Yerushalayim and plunder the city, they were ordered not to take advantage of married women. The Jewish women who were left without husbands understandably pleaded with men to marry them to save them from being taken by Babylonian men. But with Pasuk Bet, verse 2, the tone changes. Bayom hahu yihiyat semach Hashem letzvi ulechavod upri haaretz legaon uletiferes lepleitas Yisrael. On that day, the beauty and splendor of Hashem will sprout, and the fruit of the lands will bring pride and honor to the survivors of the Jewish people. One approach to our pasuk is that the tzmicha, sprouting, described in our pasuk, is actually referring to the tachias hamesim, resurrection of tzaddikim, that will occur at the start of the era of Mashiach. Many mefarshim understand this tzemach Hashem to be Mashiach. The humbling experiences of exile, just described, will cause the people to do teshuvah and wipe away the averos of the people, paving the way for Mashiach to finally come. Throughout Tanakh and Jewish liturgy, Mashiach is associated with tzemicha, a plant sprouting forth. In Shmona Esrei we daven Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Tatzmiach, which is our prayer for Mashiach to come. Note how the Shoresh Tzemach is used, sprouting. When someone plants a seed, there is little progress that can be seen from above the ground. From our vantage point, not much is changing. Underground, however, the seed is disintegrating. Roots are forming. And after several days and weeks, the gardener finally sees something sprout. This is the same with Mashiach. It can appear like the Jews are in a long exile with nothing happening. But beneath the surface, Hashem is watering the seeds, watching the roots seep in. And one day, finally, when we least expect it, Mashiach will suddenly sprout forth and redeem us all. There are Mefarshim who see this Tzemach Hashem not as referring to Mashiach, but to the rebirth of those in that generation who survived the Chorban. That even though few will be left, from the few will come many. These survivors will rebuild a vibrant Jewish future. These two seemingly opposing opinions might not be in conflict. There was a possibility for Mashiach to come during the Shivat Zion, the return of Jews from exile, which was before the rebuilding of the Second Beis HaMikdash after the Purim story. The Purim story happens between the destruction of the First Beis HaMikdash and the building of the Second. The Kavod, Gaon, and Tiferes, the splendor, beauty, and pride described in our Pasuk, is actually referring to the rebirth of Torah Judaism that took place through the Purim miracle. Because of the Purim story, there was a rededication and renewed excitement and appreciation for Torah, and specifically Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Oral Torah. Remember that it was a loss of Torah leadership that was the beginning of the end for the generation, as discussed in Perek Gimel. This reappreciation for Torah and the reinstallment of Torah leadership was the tikkun, the fix, needed and was the foundation for the Second Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, many Jews did not willingly return back to Yerushalayim to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, as is described in the Book of Ezra, undermining the potential for Mashiach's arrival. These words, Pri Ha'aretz L'Gaon U'L'Tiferes, are part of the Tfilas Hatal, the prayer for dew said on the first day of Pesach. Pasuk Gimel of our Parak continues, the survivors in Yerushalayim will be called Kadosh, holy. They will all be inscribed for life in Yerushalayim. Something Kadosh is by definition something indestructible. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph, 92a, quotes our Pasuk to prove that those resurrected at the time of Mashiach will never pass away again. They are Kadosh, indestructible. The Perek ends with a description of Hashem's cleansing of the Jewish people and the cloud and fire that will once again surround and protect Yerushalayim. The final pasuk reads, V'sukati ya l'tzel yoma mechorev, u'lamachseh l'mestom mizerem u'mimatar. The sukkah will be a shade from the heat during the day and protect the people from drenching rain. Rashi sees the scorching heat and rain to be forms of punishments for evil people, but the righteous will be protected from this harm. The people experienced all kinds of pain and suffering during exile, so they will now experience rest, peace, and tranquility during the time of the Geula. The final two words of our Pasuk, Mizerem u'mimatar, are in the tefillah we say as we enter the sukkah each night. The ultimate sukkah, Sukkot David, is the Beis HaMikdash. As we enter the sukkah, we daven for the ultimate and final sukkah, the sukkah that will bring an end to all harm and evil, Emir Tashem, speedily in our days. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.